I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, Doug Trabue elbows his way through a Cleveland convention center cluttered with NFL Hall of Famers. Big guys. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
The Los Angeles Clippers went into the weekend trailing 2-1 in their second-round series against Oklahoma City, and with a brand-new recording of owner Donald Sterling in which he claims that he's not a racist. With all the talk of owner Donald Sterling's mistakes and the forced sale of the team, wouldn't it be amazing if the Clippers won the NBA title?
Well, I would wonder exactly who you would hand the trophy to. I guess you would have to hand it to Shelly Sterling.
At this point?
Or Doc Rivers. I mean, I'd hand it to Doc Rivers because of all he's been through. But I think at this point, I think you hand it to Shelly Sterling.
I suppose it could be handed to former Citigroup and Time Warner CEO Richard Parsons. He has been named the interim CEO of the L.A. Clippers. Meanwhile, Shelly Sterling, soon to be the ex-Mrs. Donald Sterling, currently co-owner of the Clippers, announced on Wednesday that she does, in fact, intend to hold on to the team. Do you like her chances?
I think that the NBA, unless they find a soft landing for Ms. Sterling, is going to wind up riding every ride in deposition land, because this is really going to test the power of the commissioner to make the people who are not involved with the casus belli with Donald Sterling get rid of the team anyway.
Kevin Durant was named the NBA's most valuable player on Tuesday. Can you guess who finished second, Charlie?
Gee, I think it might be that James guy from Miami.
I thought he'd retired the trophy myself.
Yeah, this was terrific. And Kevin Durant gave an MVP acceptance speech for the ages.
Especially with Mother's Day coming up.
Oh, absolutely. A wonderful tribute to his mother. He thanked Caron Butler, who put a note in his locker. He says, I don't say much in those moments, but I remember that. I go home and I think about that stuff. Good for him.
Thursday night began the three-day period during which pro football fans annually howl at the stupidity of the general managers in charge of their favorite teams. The first round of the draft, whether legitimately or not, always gets a lot of attention. What did you make of it?
I made of it the fact that, number one, that it lit Twitter on fire, and number two, that the long agony of Johnny Manziel was the only compelling narrative. And the guy I feel worse for now is Teddy Bridgewater, the quarterback from Louisville, who didn't even get to be the guy who slid all the way because all the attention was on Manziel.
On Monday, cornerback Richard Sherman signed a $57.4 million contract extension with the Seattle Seahawks. So I think it's safe to say that any cornerbacks drafted this time around are just thrilled.
Yeah, I think that Richard Sherman has set the bar fairly high, and he has become the face of the franchise.
Sherman said this week that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell would not stand up to an NFL owner the way the NBA's Adam Silver stood up to Donald Sterling. You think he's right?
Yeah, I think he's right, number one, because we still have the Washington Redskins, number one.
So
he's not standing up against that. And number two, he didn't really do much when that awful storm of racist invective landed on Richard Sherman after he ran his mouth postgame during the playoffs.
Jimmy Ellis died on Tuesday. He was 74 years old. He held the WBA heavyweight title for a couple of years after Muhammad Ali was cast into exile for declining induction into the Army. Ali once said of Jimmy Ellis, to be my sparring partner, you gotta be good. But Ellis proved he was better than that, don't you think?
Yeah, he got tangled up in the World Boxing Association quote-unquote tournament to find Ali, which was corrupt from start to finish. And he was under that shadow, and then he was beaten rather badly by Joe Frazier when they finally unified the title in Ali's absence. I think one of the most interesting things about it, of course, is he died of Alzheimer's disease. And you don't have to connect two very distant dots.
Washington lobbyist Jack Berkman did his best before the draft to dissuade all the NFL teams from picking Missouri defensive end Michael Sam, who came out as gay earlier this year. Berkman's firm is pushing a bill that would ban openly gay football players from the NFL and other athletes from other pro sports as well, and he's threatening a financial boycott for teams that draft gay players. Should the NFL or any other league be worried about this guy?
Absolutely not. This guy is a clown from television. Every now and then he turns up on one of the pundit shows as a quote-unquote Republican strategist. He needs customers for his lobbying firm. And I guarantee you Michael Sam's jersey will go through the roof once he finally has a team.
The Yankees said this week that they will retire Joe Torre's number 6 at Yankee Stadium on August 23rd. Okay, so it's quiz time. What other two Yankees managers have had their numbers retired?
Well, I would imagine Miller Huggins.
Well, that's one wrong.
Really?
Yes.
It's not Miller Huggins?
No.
How about Yogi Berra?
No, wrong again.
Yogi Berra has his number retired, and he managed the Yankees.
As a player.
Don't give me that. Yep. That was an imprecise question. I'm right, you're wrong.
Well, it says here, Casey Stengel and Billy Martin. Yeah. Why anybody would retire Billy Martin's number, I'm not quite sure, except he set the record for number of times managing the Yankees.
I'm surprised they didn't retire .20 in his name.
On Wednesday, Helen Acosta became the head coach for Clermont-Ferrand, a second division soccer team in France. Should we offer a tip of the Only a Game cap to the first female manager in one of the top divisions in Europe's five major male pro leagues?
Absolutely, and I do not envy her email account once that team starts to lose. I thought the team was named Clermont Foot.
Well, it says here Ferrand, but maybe Ferrand
It says Foot in the New York Times. I think that's a great name for a soccer team.
I do, too. Finally, Charlie, it's hard times for Fulham Football Club. The team has crashed out of the Premiership, been relegated, and the former owner of that team thinks that he knows why. Mohamed Al-Fayed thinks it has something to do with the removal of the team's Michael Jackson statue from outside Craven Cottage. Do you think that's it? The curse of Michael Jackson
has
struck?
I don't think there's no question of that. I think that, you know, in the superstitious land of soccer, almost anything is possible.
And if you email us, we'll probably tell you where you can find the reason there was a Michael Jackson statue outside Craven Cottage to begin with. You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, and he joins me each week on Only a Game as well. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.
Is there a question you've always wanted Charlie and me to answer? Now's your chance. Tweet your best Charlie question to @OnlyAGameNPR with a hashtag AskCharlie. If there's time, we might answer your question during next week's live show, or you can always email us at onlyagame.org.